What we're going to talk about today, or teach about, is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was not a prophet, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't a king. And he has a whole book named after him. And so it shows you what a person can do when Yahweh rises somebody up and they take the call. But to kind of put things in perspective first, get to understand how these books work. And so you had the captivity, you know, which is when Nebuchadnezzar took him out of Jerusalem. So the first book that begins this is Daniel. And so when you're looking at a chronological reading about this time period and the captivity, and they're in Babylon and they're also in Persia. So you look at Daniel's first book, it starts off at the beginning of the captivity. Esther is after Daniel chronologically. Nehemiah is after Esther. And then Ezra is in the middle of Nehemiah, and both of them end on the same year. And so that's how it goes. So it goes Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, and then Ezra is in the middle of Nehemiah and Ezra. So we're going in Nehemiah. His name is not Nehemiah. It's Nehemiah.
Okay.
Nehemiah. So what if you look at a spelling? Now look at it. You got N-E. That'd be neck. H-E-M is where we have it in four syllables. It's only three. So N-E hyphen H-E-M, which would be Ham. And then Y-A-H would be Yah. Mm-hmm. So it's really Nehemiah is his name. And it means Yahweh's comfort. Or Yahweh has consoled. And so the best way to begin with these is we're just going to read a chapter to kind of lay out the story. And so Nehemiah 1.
Okay.
479.
479?
479.
Sorry. Oh, I'm going to say,
what? Can't be that wrong.
Yeah, that was really off, wasn't it? Okay. We'll take turns reading. Because we're going to read from 1:1 to 2:6. But it does show you the importance of leadership. So everybody who's watching or anybody in this room, Yahweh needs people to rise up. And then when they rise up, they need people to follow and work as a team and as a unit. And you don't have to be an apostle, you don't have to be a prophet, you don't have to be a priest, you don't have to be a king. All right? But you can accomplish great things. So, it's the story of Nehemiah. And I'm going to skip a lot of these names. Son of Ahakdah. And it came to pass in the month Chislei, in the 20th year, when I was in Shushan. So Shushan was the capital of Persia. The fortress that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men out of Judah. So I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant who are left of the captivity there in the province are in great misfortune and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, and I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days, and I continued fasting and praying before the Elohim of the heavens, and said, will somebody read 1 through 11?
I beseech thee, O Yahweh, God of the heavens, the great and fearful
El,
keeping the covenant and loving kindness for them who love him and keep his commandments. Let, I pray thee, thine ears be attentive and thine eyes open to hearken unto the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now day and night for the sons of Israel, thy servants, and making confession concerning the sins of the sons of Israel which we have committed against thee. Both I and the house of my father have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the regulations which thou didst command Moses thy servant. Remember, I pray thee, the word which thou didst command Moses thy servant, saying, if ye are faithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. Or if ye are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. when ye return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though it should be that ye have been driven out unto the uttermost parts of the heavens, from thence will I gather them and bring them into the place that I have chosen to make a habitation for my name there. They, therefore, are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy firm hand. I beseech thee, O my Lord, let, I pray thee, thine ear be attentive unto the prayer of thy servant and unto the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name. And, O prosper, I pray thee, thy servant today, and grant him compassion before this man.
Now I was a cupbearer unto the king. And this king is Cyrus's father. And the queen is Hadassah, or Esther. So Cyrus's father is this king. And that's why this comes right after Daniel.
I thought it followed Esther.
Yeah, Daniel, Esther, this. Because now Esther and Cambias is his name, are married. And I came unto the king, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. So I took up the wine and gave it to the king, and I had never been sad before him. Then said the king unto me, wherefore is our countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I feared exceedingly, and said unto the king, let the king, unto time's age abiding, live. Wherefore should my countenance not be sad, when the city, the place of the scepter of my fathers, lieth waste, and the gates are over consumed with fire? Then the king said to me, concerning what is it thou wouldst make request? So I prayed unto the Elohim of the heavens, and then said unto the king, if unto the king it seemeth good, and if thy servant might find favor before thee, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of the sepulchres of my fathers, that I might build it. You know, what a huge task.
Yeah.
So think of something being destroyed, and then say, well, I'm going to go back and rebuild it. And the king said unto me, the queen, which would be Esther, also sitting beside him, for how long? Now, remember, this is before, you know, or after Haman tried to kill all the Jews. So remember how Esther became the queen. And what was the queen that was?
Vashti.
Yeah, Vashti was the queen. She didn't work out. Esther became queen. Haman tried to kill all the Jews. Now Esther is in charge. Mordecai is in charge. And now we're talking about, with, so you can see why a king with his wife would favor the Jews.
Right.
His wife is right there. And who's helped reign the kingdom? It's Mordecai, who's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you all the context. And in verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting beside him, for how long would be thy journey, and when wilt thou return? So it seemed good before the king to send me, and I set him a time. So that is the beginning of Nehemiah. And so what we're going to look at is different stages of what we can learn from Nehemiah. The first is the sacrifice that Nehemiah actually did. And the second will be the enemies and their tricks of them coming against you,
mm-hmm.
if we have time. So, in verse 11 of chapter 2, we're going to see what he does. Now, he goes to Jerusalem. Now, you have to understand where Persia is. And so here's Jerusalem right here. Persia's right down here. And you can't go this way because you have the desert. So if you want to get to Persia, you go up through Babylon, all the way up, and then back down. And so whenever you're going there, it might be 4 or 6 months journey to get to Jerusalem. And so it's a long ways to go. You can't go as a crow fly because it's a desert.
And he was leaving from where?
From Susa.
The capital of Persia.
Yeah, that's the capital of Persia.
Up around one of the capitals. To Jerusalem.
Yeah, going all the way to Jerusalem. So that's where he is, and now he's in Jerusalem. In verse 11 to 18. Somebody want to read 11 through 18.
So I entered Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then rose I by night
I and a few men with me, I having told no man what my Elohim had been putting in my heart to do for Jerusalem. And beast was there none with me, save the beast on which I myself was riding. So I went forth through the valley gate by night, even unto the front of the snake fountain, and unto the dome gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, how they were broken down, and the gates thereof consumed with fire. Then passed I over unto the fountain gate, and unto the pool of the king, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the torrent bed by night, and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. Now the deputies knew not whither I had gone, nor what I was doing, not even to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the deputies, nor to the rest who were doing the work, had I as yet told it. So I said unto them, ye can see the misfortune that we are in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may remain no longer a reproach. Then told I them of the hand of my Elohim, that it had been good upon me, as also of the words of the king, which he had spoken unto me. So they said, we will arise and build. And they strengthened their hands right well.
And so you see, this is going to be a huge task. And so we're going to see Nehemiah was a wealthy individual. He had a great job. He served the king. Mm-hmm. And this is hardship. You know, so leaving that to go do this is not what you want to do. And that shows the sacrifice that he's going to be doing. And by looking at this context too, you can see that Ezra was building the temple. You can see none of this is there. So when he's touring places, there is no Ezra, there's no building the temple. So a lot of times people have Nehemiah after Ezra because Nehemiah is after the book of Ezra.
Right.
So Ezra's not even there.
Right.
And you can't be rebuilding the temple if you don't have the walls built,
yeah,
the rest of Jerusalem even done. Yeah. What good is that going to do?
Yeah.
So that's why Nehemiah is where we are at now. Now if you look at chapter 3, and this is the whole chapter, we're not going to read it, but it's very fascinating. Well, let me just read 1, verse 1. Then arose Elishibed, the high priest, and his brother the priest, and built a sheep gate. They hollowed it and set up doors thereon, even unto the tower of Hamathah, hollowed it unto the tower of Hamaral. And this is going to go through and name all the different people and what they did.
Yeah.
Now, how important is that to be written, your name written in the word Yahweh,
yeah,
forever? The Yahweh is saying this person and this person and this person built this wall and this person built this gate and this one made this. And they all sacrificed by leaving where they were to go here. And so you think, he could have just said, and we rebuilt the walls. Yahweh could have said we rebuilt the walls and not mention anybody's names, anything else, but he named them all. So you have a whole chapter of naming and giving them credit, just like you will do for us too. Because this was a sacrifice. Now, we go to Numbers, or Nehemiah 5, verse 14. We're still based on the sacrifice that Nehemiah and the people there are doing. This is a 52-year time period. So Nehemiah is 52 years, and Ezra is 26 years, if I'm not mistaken.
52.
Yeah, 52 14. Years. Bullinger has a great... this is all chronologized in Bullinger. Yeah, Ezra is 23 years from 426 B.C. to 403. And Nehemiah is 52 years from 455 to 403. So both of them end on 403 B.C. And they end up in the same book. You'll see Ezra in here and vice versa. So but 514, now let's just watch what Nehemiah and them are doing. Now, 52 years, now he wasn't there the whole time, but you're talking about 20 years.
We're
going to see this, that he's going back and forth, and he's fronting the cost, a lot of this stuff, out of his own pocket, which we're going to see. Moreover, this is verse 5, chapter 5, verse 14, more from the day I was commanded to become their pasha, which would be like a governor, in the land of Judah from the 20th year even unto the 32nd. So that's 12 years of Artaxerxes, the king. 12 years I and my brethren, parched bread had not eaten, or the governor's bread had not eaten. And so we're not taxing, he's saying we're not taxing the people. So he's governor, but he's not taxing. And he's going to say, why didn't tax? Because they can't bear. Well, the people who are there, the people who are left, are usually the poor people. And they're building the wall. How could I be taxing them at the same time? Then you have to say, well, who's fronting this bill? We're going to see this. 15, whereas the former pashas, you know, the governors before him, who were before me, suffered themselves to be a burden upon the people and took from them in bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver, even their young men bear rule over the people. But I did not so because of the fear of Elohim. Moreover also, in this work of the wall I repaired, and no field did we buy, though all my young men were gathered thither unto the work. And Jews and deputies, 150 men, he's feeding. Now think of feeding 150 people a day. Now watch what happens. And they who were coming in unto us from among the nations, so there's more than 150, which were round about us, depended upon my table. Now that which was prepared for a single day was one ox, six choice sheep, also fowls were prepared for me, and appointed unto 10 days of every sort of wine in abundance. Yet in spite of all this, the bread of the pasha, or the taxing of the government, demanded I not, because heavy was the bondage upon this people. Remember unto me, O my Elohim, for good, all that I have done for this people. You know, that is something, 12 years of doing this. You know, now we go to 13. So that is a sacrifice. And if you read Ezra, and we're going to find out here too, the adversity that came against these from the people around him is really, you know, great adversity the whole time. They quit and said, that's it, we quit. We're going to go back to Persia. 13, verse 10. Now, so they build the walls. All right. I think the temple's being built. He goes back to, you know, Persia to do his work with the king. And then he comes back again and he finds out things that are going haywire since he's been gone. And so now he's got to correct and beat and chew out people, and that's what he's going to do. In verse 10, then came I to know that the portion of the Levites had not been given them. So people are supposed to be giving the tithe, the first fruits, and everything else, which supported the Levites. Mm-hmm. The Levites did not have farms or fields to support themselves. So the people, the giving is supposed to support the Levites. When he gets back, he finds out that's not happening. So the Levites and the singers who had been doing the work had fled everyone to his field because they had to eat.
Yeah.
Therefore contended I with the deputies and said, wherefore is the house of Elohim forsaken? So I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then all Judah brought in the tithe of corn, new wine and oil unto the treasuries, and I made treasures over the treasures. And on and on. So that's one of the things that he did. Now we go through 15. Now they're all working on the Sabbath. You know, verse 15.
Wait, what?
15 to 18. Chapter 13, 15 to 18. So you can imagine the load of leadership.
Yeah.
And so, you know, leadership also means rebuking, reproving, correcting. It comes with the territory. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, moreover also wine, grapes, and figs, and every kind of burden which they were bringing under Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I protested against it as a day for them to sell provisions. And then it goes on through here. Men were sitting, you know, traders were outside the wall, you know, doing business, and then he shut the gates and no more business on the Sabbath. All right, but the traders were still out there. They'd hang out all Sabbath until they opened the gate Saturday. And he says, if I see you out there again, I'm gonna throw you in jail. Mm-hmm. So they all fled. And so here's the bad guy, huh? But he's trying to show these people, this is why Jerusalem fell. Yeah. Because you weren't taking care of the Levites, you weren't observing the Sabbath, mm-hmm. and now we're going to find another thing. And that's in verse 23. Mixed marriages.
Yeah.
Moreover, in his days, saw I the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, of Ammon, of Moab, and their children were one half speaking the language of Ashdod, and understood not but how to speak the language of the Jews, but after the tongue of both people. So I contended with them, and laid a curse upon them, and I smote from among them certain men, and pulled out their hair, and I put them on oath by Elohim. So, this is Nehemiah. All right, and Ezra did the same thing, and he's saying, this is why Solomon, the kingdom, fell, because Solomon married foreign wives. What the heck are you doing? So the Sabbath, you know, just one thing after another. You're fighting outside, and you're fighting inside. And so the outside are the unbelievers trying to take you, and the inside, they're going to try to tear you apart by breaking rules. And so many pastors and people today are not standing up saying, no, this is not acceptable. And that's what Aaron did get. You know, I'm telling somebody of his friend, if you're voting on a Democrat, you're in sin. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. The Democrat platform breaks three of the Ten Commandments. There is no other deal. You're in sin. Well, how can you say that? Don't cross that line. Don't tell me how to vote. I'm not telling you how to vote. Just stay away from me, because I'm supposed to stay away from fornicators. Mm-hmm. So you're supporting sodomy. You're supporting abortion. You're supporting confiscation of money. Let me know, because it says not to eat with you. Yeah. So, at least give me that and get away. Don't call yourself a Christian. You know, it's blasphemy. And so people need to stay the same. And pastors need to do the same thing. It's very simple. And people will say, well, I'm not a Democrat or I'm not a Republican. Oh, sounds so holy. Christ would be a Republican, period. And there's no doubt about that. And all these other people are trying to stop from losing souls from their church, individuals from the church, because they contribute or whatever, they're going to make them upset. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did not do. So here's what Nehemiah, and he got a whole book. Mm-hmm. All right, so if people leave, so be it.
Three friends, now we want a whole book of God's
Word. So be it. I want Yahweh to be happy with me, not men. But now we're going to look at the tactics of the enemies. And this is very brilliant. So now we're going back again. Nehemiah 2.
Oh, you want to do 23, verse 23?
Yeah. But they married people.
Okay.
So I'll just do that. I forgot about that. But they married foreign women. And, you know, you had just a whole mess. And that's the same way with so much today. You got people going to church who are cohabitating. All right. And you have to be able to say, if you're cohabitating, you stop immediately. All right. Or don't come to this church. Well, how else are you going to hear? Well, stop. This is what the word... You're not going to pollute this environment to say you can cohabitate or you're a homosexual and doing sodomy. Now, if you want deliverance, we'll help you deliver. But the first and foremost you got to do is stop.
Don't bring your sin
in.
Yeah,
don't bring... And stop. And when you... And when... If you say, I'm not going to stop, then don't come. And when you're ready to make a stand and do with righteousness, then let us know. And we'll work with you and show you how to do it mm-hmm. and you're delivered from it. But don't contaminate the rest of us with children, everybody else. You're bringing demons in and all sorts of things that are coming in. And people said, well, Jesus Christ was the friend of the sinner. You know who told him that? Who said that? The Pharisees called him that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they called him a glutton. They called him a gluttoner, and he's demon of Beelzebub, too. So, you know, casting crowds says, Jesus, the friend of sinners. Oh, why don't we say Jesus, whose God is Beelzebub? You know, because the Pharisees are the one who gave him that label. Very simply, he went to sinners and said, repent. All right? And I'm going to show you the way. And they said, no. He said, what? Shake the dust off your feet and leave.
Yeah.
You're not the friends of sinners. I have pastors saying, I have friends who are atheists. Or my friends are, and I thought, then you are in sin. Because 1 Corinthians 5 says not to even eat with these people, period. Let alone call them your friends. Are you kidding me? I have a friend who, or I have a homosexual friend, or I have an atheist friend. And these are pastors. It's supposed to be some kind of, you know, I'm not judging. You're supposed to judge. That's what 1 Corinthians 6 is all about. And cast that person away from you. You confront your homosexual friend. And it should be your friend in the first place.
Give him an alternative.
Yeah, you say, here's, you're in sin, here's what you need to do. Do you want to help, you want me to help you do it? And if they say no, goodbye. Very simply. And when you want deliverance, come to me. Well, how? That's harsh. Doesn't make any difference. But that corruption is now all the way through churches, and you got homosexual churches and pastors, and say, oh, don't judge us.
And what's right's wrong, and what's wrong's right.
Yeah. So now we go to Nehemiah 2, verse 9. Now, Tobias, there's two guys, Sanballat. Sanballat and Tobias. And what's interesting, and these are seeds sown. Tobias is actually a Hebrew name. And Tob means good. So Tobiah means Yahweh is good. All right. So but you're going to see what Tobiah does. And he's an Amorite. And we're going to see what Yahweh says about Amorites and Moabites. But here is in 2:9. Now we're starting over. Jerusalem hasn't been rebuilt. And so it's just starting. Then came I to the Pasha beyond the river and gave them the letter of the king. Now the king has sent with me captains of the army and horsemen. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah, and his name is really Tobiah, so it's like B-E-E, Tobiah, the servant, the Amorite, heard of it, it vexed them with a great vexation. So what we're going to do is look at all the signs, a great vexation, the enemy, that they had come a man to seek welfare for the sons of Israel. If people don't feel this way about you, maybe you're not doing something. If you don't have enemies, maybe you're not, well, not even, if you don't have, if the world doesn't hate you, then you're not doing the word. Because he says, Christ says, if the world hate me, they're going to hate what?
You.
And if they don't hate you, you're not doing the word. Very simply. So if these guys came against them, good. That's what we want. You know, if you look around, who was the guy in Oklahoma? The cowboy.
Roy Williams.
No. Will Rogers got an airport named after him. It's the United States, and he says, "There's never a man that I didn't like."
I
thought, boy, you're a wishy-washy creep, is what you are. All right, because half the world is probably evil. Right? Very simply, and you don't call a spade a spade, so we can tell the people who are evil. So don't come out this now. You're an entertainer, so maybe that makes you feel better. And you just lied about making these statements. But it sounds so, doesn't that sound good? I never met a man I didn't like. Wow. You know, I got a ton of them. We got, you know, Obama, which is from the adversary, from the Satan. The Democratic Party is from a great percentage of them are doing the works of the adversary. You know, they're tearing apart the United States. You know, I mean, so you're like, what do you mean?
But ISIS?
Yeah. So great vexation. This is just the beginning of it. They hear about it. So Tobiah and Sanballat. Now we go to 19, verse 20. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant...
Wait a minute, where are we?
Verse 19.
19.
Oh.
And actually he's a servant too. The servant, the Amorite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it. They laughed at us and poured contempt on us and said... Have you ever had any scientists or people in schools laugh at you and say that because of the creation?
Yep.
You don't believe in Darwinism? And so, contempt, mocking, playing. That's another strategy. But watch what happens. They don't last for long. All right? What is this saying which you should do against the king? Would you rebel? Is that a lie?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to speak lies against you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. Then answered I them and said to them, the Elohim of the heavens, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. But to you pertain no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Lay it right out here. You have no part of this. But they're going to mock. Now we go to 4 verse 1. 1-3. And it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, it angered him. Now you got anger going. And he was greatly displeased and mocked the Jews. There's mocking coming in. And spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they heap to life the stones out of the heaps of dust from when they have been burned up? Let me see here. Now, Tobiah the Amorite was beside him. So he said, even that which they are building, if a fox should go up, he would break down their stone wall. Mocking, ridicule, anger. Now we go to 7 through 9. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabian and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem had gone up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, they're not mocking and laughing anymore. Right? That it angered them exceedingly. Right? So we should have people who are angry at us exceedingly protesting us. And that's what I liked about Terry Fox and Joe Wright. So when we go to their church, when Sam Brownback are there, yeah, protesters. Why? Good. That shows we're on the right page. And they conspired, and this is what they're going to do now, conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to cause it harm. And then the rest of this chapter explains that they found out that they were going to attack. And so when they were building, half the people were armed, ready for a war. So half the people are building the stone wall, the other ones are guarding. You know, so that came about. But, you know, angered exceedingly and conspired against them. Now we go to 6, verse 1 through 9. And who would like to read 6, 1 through 9?
And it came to pass when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, is that how you say it, Tobiah?
Yeah.
And to Geshem the Arabian, and to the rest of their enemies, that I had built the wall, and there was left therein no breach, thou up to that time the doors had I not set up in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, and let us meet together in the villages in the valley of Ono. But they were plotting to do me harm. So I sent unto them messengers, saying, a great work am I doing, and cannot come down. Wherefore should the work cease, whilst I leave it, and come down unto you? Yet they sent unto me according to this message 4 times, and I replied to them according to this answer. Then Sanballat sent unto me according to this message 5th time by his young man with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, among the nations it is reported, and Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews are plotting to rebel, for which cause thou art building the wall. And thou art to become their king according to these words.
So there's lies. They keep going, yeah.
Moreover, also prophets hast thou set up to make proclamation concerning thee in Jerusalem, saying, he hath become king in Judah. Now, therefore, will it be reported to the king according to these words. Now, therefore, come and let us take counsel together.
So, you know, is this blackmail?
Yeah.
And so really, well, we know it's not true, but if you don't come and take counsel, this is what we're going to send a message to the king. Now you just go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Then sent I unto him, saying, nothing hath been done according to these words which thou art saying, but out of thy own heart art thou feigning them. For they all were seeking to put us in fear, saying, their hands will slacken from the work, and it will not be accomplished. Now, therefore, strengthen thou my hands.
A great deal. So there is fear again to stop them. Plotting. Now we go to, I'll read 10 through 14. Here's the next plot, and that didn't work. And so that would be slander, false reports. And so the word devil, Diabolos, means slanderer. Yes. And to slander is to give false reports. And so a great illustration of the slanderer. But they didn't stop. When I came unto the house of Shemaiah, a son of Delahiah, son of Mechatabah, he being shut in, he said, let us meet together in the house of Elohim, in the midst of the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple. For they are coming to slay thee. Yea, by night are they coming to slay thee. So here's the next report. Mm-hmm. And guess who's telling it to them? It's a Jew who lives among them. We're going to find out. Then said I, should such a man as I flee? Who then, being such as I, would enter the temple to save his life? I will not enter. Then perceived I that, lo, it was not Elohim who had sent him, though a prophecy he had spoken. So here's a false prophet, false prophecy. Mm-hmm. Concerning me, but Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. To this end, hired he was, to the end that I might be afraid and do so, and might sin, and it might serve them for an evil report, to the end they might bring reproach upon me. So now they work from the inside. Let's get an insider to go up there and try to scare him to death and put fear in the rest of the people. Let's see, where am I now?
14.
That's 6. We're going to stop. It is me. Have remembrance, O my Elohim, of Tobiah and of Sanballat, according to their doings. Moreover, also, Noadiah, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who have put me in fear. So they're working from the inside out. Now we go to 17. 19. Moreover, on those days were the nobles of Judah busy with their letters, which were going unto who?
Tobiah.
Yeah. And those of Tobiah were coming under him, for many in Judea had taken an oath to him, because he was in marriage affinity with Shechaniah, son of Arab, and Yahkanah, his son, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, his good deeds were they telling before me, and my affairs were they carrying out to him letters to be sent to put me in fear. So he's right in the midst with all the Jews. So he's in the church. He's friends of all the elders and working with the elders.
Who, Tobiah?
Yeah, Tobiah is. All right. Now we go to 13:1. So they get the wall there. The wall is
well built in the middle of all that.
Yeah, they got the wall done. You don't hear any more of Sanballat. All right. But you do hear of Tobiah. 13:1-9. On that day, well, before we go there, we've got a little time. Go, keep your finger here. Go to Deuteronomy 23:3. This is a nice note to put into your word. It's page 222. So this is Moses. Neither an Amorite or a Moabite shall enter into the convocation of Yahweh. Even to the tenth generation shall none that belong to them enter into the convocation of Yahweh unto time's age abiding. Mm. So and you can keep reading. But now that's what we're going to be addressing here. Because Ezra the scribe came out and started reading the Torah, which is the five books. The Pentateuch. It's funny. You know what Pentateuch is? That's the name for the five books.
Right.
It's a Greek name.
Huh.
Like, how ironic is that? You're like, what is up with this? You know, Genesis is a Greek name for a Hebrew book.
Mm-hmm.
How did that ever happen? So we got things so messed up, our fathers, and we have to say, pay attention to say, no, the first book is Bereshith, which is in the beginning. That's how the Hebrews named it. They always named it the first couple words in the sentence. And it's not Genesis. And it's not... So you imagine how the Jews are offended when they get to hear all these Greek names given to their Hebrew books. But now we're getting into it. So remember, Tobiah is an Amorite.
Ammonite.
And he's right in... And Ammon was Lot's daughter's son.
Mm-hmm.
From Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Moab, and really it's Moab, which means father, we go Moab, but A, B is father. Moab, I think multiplied father, father multiplied. And so one daughter named theirs Moab, and the other was Ammon. Mm-hmm. All right, just interesting. Verse 1. And on that day, a portion was read in the book of Moses, which we're reading as Deuteronomy, in the ears of the people, and it was found written therein that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not enter into the convocation of Elohim unto times the age of body, because they met not the sons of Israel with bread and with water, but hired against them Balaam to curse him, although our Elohim turned the curse into a blessing. So it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. Now before this, Eliashib, the priest, who was set up over a chamber of the house of Elohim, was allied unto Tobiah. So he prepared him a large chamber. Now, so you got the Ammonite right in the temple. So he prepared him a large chamber where aforetime they used to lay the meal offering, the frankincense, and the utilities, and the tithes of the corn, by the new wine and the oil, in charge of the Levites, the singers, and the doorkeepers, and the heave offerings for the priests. So you have this parasite, a dangerous parasite, to be right in the midst of the temple that they just rebuilt. And the people are friends with him. And we find that many times, too. A lot of times we find people we thought were our friends, when we actually see their beliefs are contrary to what we are going for. And Aaron discovered that, and I've discovered that too, even family members. And all of a sudden, they reveal themselves by who they vote for. And then you can say, whoa, are you aware of how evil this person is? And they go, yes, but I'm going to vote for him anyway. Okay, you're not who I thought you were. Mm-hmm. Now I will distance myself from now on. So you got Tobiah right in the midst of them. Verse 6, but throughout all this time was I not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I came unto the king, and at the end of certain days obtained I a leave of the king, and came to Jerusalem, and had intelligence of the wickedness with Eliashib, and that's the high priest who's doing this, committed for Tobiah, and preparing for him a chamber in the courts of the house of Elohim. And it grieved me exceedingly. Why? Because Nehemiah is doing what Yahweh says through the Torah. And I cast forth all the household utilities of Tobiah outside the chamber. Then commanded I, and they purified the chambers, and I put back there the utensils of the house of Elohim and meal offering the frankincense. Now remember, before Nehemiah came, the people found out you're not supposed to be, the Ammonites are not supposed to be here, so they got rid of them, except for Tobiah.
I thought he was just a servant of the
Ammonites. No, he is, Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite. All right. So, those are the techniques. Let me see one other thing. Right about on time. Oh, one other thing is Nehemiah 8:1. Now this is just another subject. Does anybody remember what Tishra 1 is? What special day that is? Now let me explain something to you. Tishra is the seventh Hebrew month. But it's all, in the religious calendar, but it's also the first month in the civil calendar. So Tishra is, and 7 is a sacred number, so it becomes a sacred month. So Tishra 1 is the day Christ was born. Tishra 10 is the day of atonement or propitiation. Once a year, where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. Tishra 15th is the day of Festival of Booths, or Festival of Tabernacles, where they bring in their harvest and have a 7-day of feast where they do nothing but rejoice. But guess what we look right here in verse chapter 8, verse 1.
Nehemiah 8:1.
Now they don't know, in my judgment, no Hebrews knew the purpose of Tishri 1. And now if you read the paper that we did on Christ was born on Tishri 1, and Dr. Werwald did this with the Way of Ministry on 3 BC, which was September 11th September 11th was the Hebrew day Tishri 1. And according to Moses, you're supposed to shout. All right? And people end up saying you're supposed to blow trumpets. But the word trumpet's not in there. But you're supposed to shout for what? He never told them. They're supposed to shout. So every month you're supposed to blow the horn. Well, this is the beginning of the month, so everybody blows the horn every month. Every month, yeah, every month and every new moon, you blow the horns, and so everybody does that. But so the Jews, even now, it's a big horn blowing campaign, but it never says blow the horn. And so what's so unique about it? It just says shout. And if you look at the word, and that's on that paper, and Jans is the only one who does it right, and it makes a very significance. If that's the day that Christ was born, that Yahweh made a day that nobody even knew the purpose of it until Christ was born.
It's the day we were attacked.
Yeah, the day we were attacked. So, but look at this, 8:1. Then all the people gathered together themselves together as one man into the broad way that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the scroll of the law of Moses which Yahweh had commanded Israel. So then Ezra the priest brought the law before the convocation of both men and women and all that had understanding to hearken on the first day of the seventh month. So the first day of the seventh month is Tishri 1. And read thereof how the broad place goes on. But this whole chapter deals with it. Because then they find out, hey, when you're reading this, you're finding out this is also the month that we're supposed to dwell in booths. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th. And people were supposed to be in booths. And so in this, they all go out and say, let's go get it. And they all went to the mountains and got branches out and made booths, which is so neat. You know, look at a whole generation turning back to Yahweh. And look at verse 16. So that's Tishri the 15th. So the people went forth and brought in and made themselves booths, every one upon his roof and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Elohim, and in the broad place of the water gate, and the broad place of the gate of Ephraim. And all the convocation of them who had returned out of the captivity made booths, and dwelled in booths, for since the days of Yahshua, which is son of Nun, or Yahushua, had not the sons of Israel done so unto that day. Look at that. The only time they did it was with Joshua, or Yahushua. And how many years where even Israel, Solomon, everybody else forgot about it? And there was very great rejoicing. Because Yahweh says in those days, let me just see, we got a little time. Now this is really great on these feast days. I'm going to find it real quick. Yeah, go to Deuteronomy 16. This is so great. This is what we should do. So, we just saw Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. One thing he didn't do, which he should have done. So, we can have a festival. Yahweh had three festivals. And Christians should have a festival. And they were seven-day festivals, so they had 21 days.
Yeah, 8 for 7 days.
Yeah, yeah, look at this. And this was, the Feast of Booth was the end of the harvest. And look what they're supposed to do. And that's verse 13. So if somebody would run to read 13 on the Feast of Booth to the 15th.
The festival of Booth shalt thou keep for thyself 7 days when thou hast gathered in out of thy threshing floor and out of thy wine vat. And thou shalt rejoice in thy festival, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy servant and thy handmaid, and the Levite and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow who are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep festival unto Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, for Yahweh thy God or Elohim will bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thy hands. Therefore shalt thou do nothing but rejoice.
How's that? That's a commandment. You're going to party for 7 days. Well, how can we do? Zip it. Yeah. Rejoice, 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 rejoice for 7 days. So let's call Christmas to New Year's our festival of booths, where we do nothing but rejoice. So Yahweh doesn't want sour sack kids moaning around complaining about how bad everything is, which, but you're going to take 7 days off and rejoice. Okay. We'll stop there.
I need to that footnote there for the B at the end of the this climax of rejoicing is noteworthy.
I mean, whoever said Yahweh's a sour sack? He has a What are you so happy about? You're supposed to be depressed because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Whatever that is, how do you go to hell in a handbasket? And you're like,
they'll bore you down.
Hey, you're out of fellowship because you're not rejoicing. All right. Okay. You mean I'm supposed to rejoice? Yes. Okay. We'll go ahead and end there.
Parquet.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and have a prophecy for the people before we sign off. Well, Father, we thank you for this word and that we can rejoice and be like the people in that time who went right back to your word, saw the errors because they looked at your word and corrected their lifestyle, cut out all the garbage that the world's brought into our lives, sever those relationships, sever those ungodly activities that you point your light on. And so we thank you for that, that we can be as pleasing in your sight as the people, as Nehemiah and all the people with him. So we thank you for that, and thank you, Christ, for being our head and showing us how to do that, and that also that we can give like they were supposed to give to the widows, give to the sojourners, give to the orphans, that we can do that, and show us who those people are. So we thank you for that guidance, and we thank you for these people. And so here's a word of prophecy for the people watching or listening. Rise up, my children. Rise up and be firm and be bold, because what I put upon your heart is my will. So at all times, confirm and look upon your heart and start in that direction. If it's not the right direction, I will let you know. Walk forth in faith, expecting that I abide in you, as I promised you in my word and told you, Lord, time after time, and you act many times like that, it isn't true. I am there, and I'm working through your desires. So at all times, seek what is desiring, get in fellowship with me, rebuke sin, and follow me, and I will lead you into places where you would not necessarily go. But once you get there, you will rejoice, and you'll rejoice, and rejoice, as Nehemiah did, and be very special in my eyes. Amen. We thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. See you next week.